Something in the Woods is taking people. Steph Young, the author of that booklet, is with us this evening. And we're talking about the strange phenomena, the strange disappearances. Before the top of the hour break, Steph, you began to tell us about a young boy. Why don't we go ahead and finish up with that story now?
Yeah, sure. So he was in the Isle of Man, and he was with his brothers and suddenly disappeared. And he was gone for about 4 years. And then he turned up one day, and they said, "Where have you been?" And he said, "Well, the fairies took me." And they said, "Oh, don't be ridiculous." And he described a time when they'd been in the woods themselves, the brothers, and a branch had fallen off the tree, and it had really crashed close to them, and they'd been really scared and run off. And he described that to them, and they said, "Oh, okay, maybe you were then." And a little boy as well had been taken, allegedly, and he had said that he'd heard this music coming from the woods, and he'd been drawn into it. And as he'd gone into the woods, he'd seen the trees and the branches were just clearing in front of him by something invisible. And he said he was taken down to this land with gold and crystals. And so there's lots of fairy type things, but they also are supposed to be able to use the power of illusion, where they can make the area look safe, so they'll disguise crevices and things that means you can fall off them without realizing. So possibly, but going back to what you were saying about time travel, I was thinking there's a guy called Alfred Weber, who's an exopolitics person. He used to teach at Yale and Stanford Research Institute. And in terms of people disappearing, what he was saying was that Tesla-based time travel technology has been weaponized. And he said that, you know, it's responsible for thousands of people going missing, being used in experiments, so either just going missing or killing them. And that sounded, you know, a bit extreme. But there was a case of the Lees. I don't know if you've heard of it, the Lees family haunting in Colorado Springs, Black Forest.
No, I have not heard of that. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break so we can come back, get into that story and so much more. But before we do that, I'm just curious, when this boy that came back from the Isle of Man that was missing for 3 to 4 years?
Yeah.
Had there been any change? Had he aged normally? And what was it that he saw? Could he explain where this location was? Could he explain, how did he survive?
Well, he said that they fed him. He had aged. And he said that I was so close to you, I could see what you were doing every day. But he said, we live really close to you, but I could watch you all the time, but you couldn't see me. But he says, you know, he'd been fed and he'd been looked after.
Wow, that is high strangeness. Very, very weird. Steph Young is our guest this evening. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hear. And what is the name of the haunting that we're going to discuss from Colorado Springs?
The Lees family.
All right, we'll talk about that right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. We've got a great show this evening, and if you've missed any part of it, it's very simple. Go over to coasttocoastam.com and become a Coast to Coast Insider for 15 cents a day. It'll give you access to tonight's show and to a myriad of other shows that go back as far as 5 years. You'll also get access to all the great information, photographs, and more. I have sent that photograph I mentioned earlier, the artist's rendition of the UFO craft that I saw over Trout Lake, Washington. So we'll try to get that posted on the Coast to Coast AM website this evening. But go over there and sign up. Become a Coast Insider for 15 cents a day, and you'll see why we are the best in overnight talk radio. And while you're there, check out information on George Norrie's Beyond Belief TV series. Right now, it's free for the next 30 days. That's right, free for the next 30 days. You can find information on the Coast to Coast AM website or go to beyondbelief.com and get more information there. Our guest this evening, Steph Young, we're talking about her book, Something in the Woods is Taking People. And you were going to talk to us a little bit about this strange case that took place. And did you say it was in Colorado Springs, Colorado?
Yeah, Black Forest, northeast of Colorado Springs.
All right.
And the Lees family moved in the late 90s, Steve and Beth with their two boys. And as soon as they moved in, they started seeing really strange things. So they were seeing orbs, they were seeing lots of dark shadow-type people, faces in the mirrors, figures manifesting in the house. And the father was so concerned about it, he installed some security equipment to try and capture it. And they saw it all recorded. and they got paranormal investigators to come down, quite a few different teams, and nobody could kind of rebuke it. And a Hopi shaman came, and he said, "You're living in a vortex, which allows these beings in." He'd had the police there about 50 times, you know, because the alarms kept going off, but they could never find anybody. But the twist to it is that the father was saying, okay, this isn't paranormal. One time he'd watched some soldiers. There seemed to be, he said, quite a high military presence around there. And he'd seen some soldiers in snow camouflage, and he'd gone up to them with his gun and said, you know, "What are you doing?" And he said they disappeared in front of him, and there were no tracks on the floor. And then his friends came over to investigate with him, and one night they were looking through their infrared binoculars, and they saw, it was really bizarre, but the house next door in the plot of land, they saw all these soldiers again, and they were disappearing one by one, going into the house. And again, they went up to them, and they were trying to talk to them, but they said that the soldiers couldn't hear them, or they didn't respond to them. So the father was saying, you know, this is not paranormal. He said they're doing this. Someone's spending a lot of money and time trying to make it look paranormal, but I think I'm seeing holograms. He said, and the reason they're doing this is because there's a secret, you know, military facility. They're doing a lot of experimentation. And he could hear voices saying, "We're going to kill you," or "We're going to kill your family," or "Kill yourself," you know, whether he was in the car or the house. And so he said, this is technological. And in fact, I think a senator got involved, and they tried to get the FBI to investigate, and it was kind of shut down. But he was adamant, you know, that there was some kind of psychotronic weapons being used on him. And that kind of made me think, well, maybe, you know, maybe there is. And something, it sounds a bit off topic, but in a way it's not, because did you ever hear about the Elisa Lam case?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really interesting? I don't know, I mean, listeners can actually see the video on YouTube, and it is a bit bizarre, her behavior. She does get really distressed. It's a lady who's staying in a hotel in Los Angeles, downtown.
At the Cecil Hotel, I believe it is.
Yeah, the Cecil Hotel. And she's filmed on the security camera going into the lift, and she presses all the buttons, and then she starts to act really strangely, like she's peeking out through the door. And it's almost as if she can hear somebody talking to her, because she, at one stage, she puts her hands out in front of her to try and see something that's not there, to feel for something. And she gets really distressed. And you could say, well, maybe it's an old lift and she was trying to get it to work. So that's possible. But anyway, 2 weeks later, she's found dead in the water tank up on the roof. And they sort of said, well, how did she get in there? Because the ladder wasn't there at the time, and it was supposed to have been alarmed and locked. Well, maybe it wasn't. But there's a guy called Dr. Douglas Petrell.
And just to mention real quickly, it was locked when they found her. The water, people started complaining about the water smelled funny, tasted strange, and they went up and had to unlock the water tank, and that's where they found this young woman had been in there. And the only entrance would have been too small for her to get into.
Really?
Yeah, and the video footage is disturbing, because you see her trying to get the elevator, and it refuses to go. The elevator doesn't react until she steps out of it into the hall, when you see her reacting weirdly and her arms kind of contorting in strange ways. Then she walks off, and then the elevator shuts, and then it goes to every floor and stops. The video footage shows it going up, but she's never seen again until they find her in the water tank.
It's a strange case, isn't it? It's very sad. But interestingly, I listen to Coast quite often, actually, and there was a guy called Dr. Cottrell on there, and he is supposed to be the newer version of Edgar Cayce. So he channels, and he allegedly can access sort of, again, Hall of Records, and he can see what might have happened to things. And after he'd been on the show on Coast, I thought, oh, he's an interesting man, let's find out about him. And there was a video of him channeling, talking about the case. And his interpretation is very interesting, and it kind of ties in with the Lees case in terms of electronics, because he said that he could sense that she was being beamed voices, so voices were going into her head electronically. It wasn't demonic, she wasn't mentally ill, but she was being beamed with voices.
Right. She was an incredibly smart young girl. She was on her own. She it just did not fit any strange pattern. There was no known issues with mental issues at all. And for her to react that way and then to go missing and be, if you will, teleported into this vat. Do you know the real quickly, just to go off subject, I don't know if you know the follow-up weird part of the story, is the fact that within a few days, the CDC was in the area testing people, and they were testing
the
them.
TB thing.
Right, the TB thing. Yeah. And the test kit that they used is called LAM, comma, ELISA, E-L-I-S-A.
Yes.
Here, the kit, the kit which has existed for years, is named LAM ELISA, and the woman that went missing is ELISA LAM. That is a very weird synchronicity.
Not only that, I mean, the case was all over the internet, so there's a lot of information about it. There's a couple of other weird things as well. Aleister Crowley stayed at the Cecil Hotel in London years ago, another time, and he wrote a poem, and it was called Jephthah. And the story in the poem has a line saying, "We'll be found in a high, lonely tower." And the story is about a judge who willingly sacrifices his daughter. The daughter is called Celia, or Sela, which is an anagram of Elisa as well. So, you know, and they said, I don't know if this bit is true or whether it's somebody trying to make things look a certain way, but they were saying that a tweet was sent from her account. Was it her or not? I don't know. And it was talking about the Pentagon supplying funding to a cloaking company in Canada to develop cloaking material. So I don't know about that. But going back to Dr. Cottrell, and he was saying that, so she was being beamed, you know, sound beams, giving her these self-destructive thoughts and confusing and disorienting her and luring her up to the roof. And then he said he could see a figure, and it was beaming some kind of thing at her head, causing intense pain. But he also said it could have been a person, so it was a shadowed figure, possibly hooded, so it could have been military, let's say. Or he said it could have been a discarnate entity. So, I mean, you know, it's incredible. But the way my mind was kind of going on the weapon side of things then, brought to mind, in the UK we have, there's a guy called Miles Johnston who does a lot of investigation into underground bases and MELAB abductions, that sort of thing. And a few years ago some super soldiers came to the fore. A couple of UK ones, I don't know if you know what I mean by when they say super soldiers. They kind of claim that they've been military abducted as children, taken to bases, and they're saying that there's bases in England. And they're sort of mind-controlled, and with the use of advanced time travel-type technology, one of them is James Casbolt, and he's gone on and on for years about information. And he was saying that he was trained, as children were, to remote view people and cause them heart attacks, if not death. And actually, one of the, going back to the time travel book, one of the whistleblowers there was a guy called Michael Ralph, I believe. And he was saying the same thing, that he was saying that he'd been up in Mars, but had been weaponized to be able to do these things remotely. So I don't know. I was kind of thinking, is there some kind of invisible technology as an experiment that has been used perhaps on people? I mean, we know that they do sound weapons where you can rupture somebody's internal organs and, you know.
Well, a few years ago when the TV series Paranormal State began, one of the advertising things that they were using, you would stand in front of these billboards, these curved billboards, and they would actually beam the sound into your head. So you would think it was ghosts or whatever weirdness, but it was basically advertising the show, but not audibly. It had something to do with the way they were using vibrational tones, and you were picking up on that sound without. I mean, so if you were a foot out of the realm, either way, you couldn't hear it. You had to be, it was this directional projected sound beam. And they've been talking about that technology for a while. So it is interesting. Are they able to communicate and, you know, whoever it is, shadow government, aliens, whatever, are they able to beam this information into our head, creating weird things for people in these experiences? We got a little bit off with, we were going to come back and talk about that, the haunted family in Colorado Springs. Why don't we jump back to that, and then we'll have to take our bottom of the hour break here, and then we'll take some phone calls if people have questions for you as well.
That was really just about his theory about having these weapons used on him, saying that that was what was causing the... It wasn't paranormal. They were causing these holographic projections to make him think it.
And that was his theory on it, but there was nothing to back or substantiate his theory on why the family was having these experiences.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was, they couldn't dispute that there were figures and images being captured. But he was saying, for example, that they were constantly having burns, like burnt throats and things, and he said people had been put into the hospital with mystery type of illnesses, as if something was being done to them, as opposed to just being a paranormal incident.
Sure.
He said, you know, the high military presence around the area, possibly. So I don't know.
When you talk about the people that are going missing, you also talk about some that are returned. When they're returned, do many of them have conscious memory of what has taken place, or do some just return with no idea of where they are and how they got back to where they are?
Well, the ones that have returned have mainly been the ones that I've said about have been missing for a while, and they come back, but they just don't know where they've been or what they've done. They can't describe having been anywhere different, but they're disoriented and they don't seem to have a memory of what's been happening to them. The only thing is, of course, that the majority of people are the ones that are found dead or just don't come back at all. The Oregonian newspaper was writing about this a couple of years ago. And they said, I think it was a couple of hundred people had been reported missing over the last 10 years, let's say. And the people just weren't coming back. So it was like they'd been plucked, you know, out of the air and disappeared. So the vast majority of people either are just disappearing and not coming back, or they're ending up deceased. So it's hard. There are few people that can actually say what's happened to them.
When they find them deceased, is there always something that they can attribute the death to? Is it a heart attack, a natural cause, or much like the Dyatlov Pass incident in Russia, where they find these people, you know, that were intelligent, and, you know, but now they're spread out over this long area. Some of them look like they've been impacted by some kind of vehicle because internal organs and bones are shattered, or, you know, how do these people react when they find the bodies? What kind of damage is done?
Well, just briefly, just going to the Dyatlov Pass, somebody came up with an infrasound theory for that one, didn't they, about the rupture of the organs? But normally they it looks like they've fallen. So, for example, there was a lady called Jean back in 97, I think it was, and she was in the Yosemite Park, and she was with her boyfriend, and they just took a short walk to a lookout point, and they got separated. She disappeared. They did a voice contact search. The search was initiated within about 10 minutes because he found a ranger really quickly. And they did a search using voice contact so that she'd be able to hear if she was in the area. She was found several months later, and about 3 miles away. And she had seemed to have fallen off a cliff. But the area in which she'd gone into was, according to the witness who lived in the area, was so inaccessible that you would need to be a mountain climber or a really, really experienced, physically fit hiker to get into the wooded area and climb up and then fall. So nobody could understand how she'd got into the area in the first place or why she would have thought of going in there, because she knew that she'd come from the car park, which was through a meadow. So she'd fallen, so obviously her death, like most of them that are found, are due to falls. And there's another guy called Mr. Quinn, and he was a firefighter, and he had left. He was a supervisor of campsites, so he'd told his workplace he was going to go and visit a home, a seasonal home, and that he would be back at work soon. And he wasn't found at all, but his van was parked up, and they found that, but they didn't find any tracks or traces or scent. And again, he was found.
We have to take our break, Steph. Hold tight. Something in the woods is taking people. We'll take your phone calls next. If you have questions or your own experiences that relate to this, give us a call and be a part of the show. You're listening to the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. If you like the strange and unusual, then I'm your guy. My name is Dave Schrader. I'm the host of Darkness Radio, 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight Central Time. We're in the Twin Cities on AM 1130. And if you'd like to listen to more supernatural and strange occurrences, check out our show at darknessradio.com. There's a live stream link right there on the website. And then as soon as our show wraps up, keep listening because George Norrie and Coast to Coast continues your journey into the strange and bizarre right there on the site. It's very easy to access. It's free and available for everybody. You can go join us right now. We've got a live chat room going on during tonight's show. You can join in with other like-minded individuals interested in the strange. A little bit later in the show, we're going to be joined by Roy Bainton. The Mammoth Book of Unexplained Phenomena, Astonishing Anomalies, Unknown Dimensions, Panic and Paranoia. That's just part of what we'll discuss after the top of the hour. We're going to open up phone lines now. We want to hear from you if you have questions for our guest, Steph Young, regarding her research and work with Something in the Woods is Taking People. If you have questions or your own tales you'd like to share with us, this is the time to do it. Stay tuned. We've got more coming your way right here on Coast to Coast AM. Or someone stalking us in the forests. That's what we've been discussing this evening. Steph Young, my guest, we're going to be taking your phone calls. I got an interesting email during the break, Steph, and I will mention the UFO picture, the artist rendition of the UFO I saw over Trout Lake, Washington, is now up on the Coast to Coast AM website under the featured section, so you can go take a look and see a rendition of what it was that I saw over the skies in Trout Lake, Washington. Steph, here's the email I've got. She says, a friend of mine who is not into this kind of thing at all told me a story of her and her mother visiting Ireland. They were walking around some old area with ruins and such. She went into a stone circle, and her mother came walking by looking for her. And while she was watching her the entire time, her mother was not able to see her until she stepped back out of the circle. She said it was truly the strangest thing she's ever experienced.
Wow, I wonder where that was. In the forest in Ireland.
Yep, and if maybe if that listener didn't put a name or a state that they're contacting me from, but if you know a specific location for that, please let us know, and I'll pass it on to Steph as well. Before we start before we start jumping into some phone calls here, what do you believe is most likely the cause for this? Do you believe it's alien intervention? Do you believe it is vortex portal time slips, something like that? Or do you think that there's a myriad of different reasons that have to do with the kind of strange and supernatural?
I think it's a myriad of reasons. I do think there's something in the weaponized side of things. I do think maybe some kind of experimentation, possibly. But yeah, that's the thing. It's a myriad, isn't it? You can't say it's one thing, because to me, when I look at all the different cases, there's several factors there that could be the answer. I don't think there is one answer, but I do wonder about the, you know, is there invisible drones? How far has technology come? And these invisible sound waves and things. As to why, I don't know. I mean, then there's somebody like Olaf Phillips who looks into paranormal, and he says, well, it's batch confinement, people taking up to Mars to work as slave labor. Well, you know, maybe, but they take old people, they take young people. There's other people that say they're taken down into bases under the ground. It's an alien thing. I don't know. I don't know. There is a range of possibilities. Some of it is paranormal, I think. Some of it could be, you know, obviously some of it is genuine accidents and things, but we're ruling those out. Dimensions is a possibility.
Is there any one of the ideas, when you talk about fairy folk, and I know over in Europe that there's a much greater belief in that than there is here in the United States, but is there one aspect you would rule out more than others, the fairy folk, UFOs, dimensional portals? Or do you think maybe there's just more of a nefarious underground, you know, governmental thing that's going on, and it's just testing and we'll never really know about it?
It could be testing. It could be. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that research into that kind of thing, isn't there?
Where do you come down on the things like the fairy folk stories? I mean, is that something that you just think sounds too obscure, or because of, you know, the area you've grown up in and live in, is that something that you believe is a great possibility?
The thing is, It's really easy to dismiss things and think that's ludicrous until you have an experience yourself. Like the lady that just emailed in, you know, you would say, oh, sure, that happened, but she was there. When something happens to you, that's when you believe it. It sounds insane. So I was in an apartment in Scottsdale, and I was walking from the bedroom to the lounge, and I heard a voice as loud as anything right next to me. There was nobody there. I'm not insane. Where did that voice come from? I've no idea. No idea. So until you've had something happen, you can really easily dismiss things, and they sound really wild and speculative. But like the thing that you said you saw, it's really hard until you've had that experience.
And even after I've had that experience, Steph, I still have a hard time. I know what I saw.
Yeah.
I know what I saw in the skies. I saw it move. There was no sound. There was just this thing fluttering like a giant glowing manta ray in the sky that fluttered between the trees and vanished. I know what I saw, but I still have trouble today wrapping my head around it. I feel nuts talking about it a lot of times because of that.
Well, I did. When I heard the voice, I was staying with friends, and I thought, oh my goodness, what the heck was that? And I thought, well, I was staying with Native Americans, and I thought, well, is it some kind of spell has been put on me? Why? And I thought, I can't tell them what just happened. That's insane. So I said, well, I'm going to bed now. Would you mind leaving the lights on for me? And they said, why? And I said, oh, there's some people outside shouting. It's a bit rowdy, you know. And they said, oh, no, we're not going to leave the lights on. So I just went to bed, you know. I thought, well, fine, if it happens again, it happens, you know. Because what can you do?
Right. Let's go to East of the Rockies, Stacy in Mississippi. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing great. Thanks for calling in.
I believe that your guest is right on the portals. I had a very credible friend, Yale University graduate, and I was just talking about Vimanas and ancient technologies, and then we got, of course, Philadelphia Experiment and time travel and whatnot. And he said, I was living in St. Pete at the time, and he had spoken about portals that you could go in and out of, portals that you could go into but not come out of, and portals that things could come out of but not into. So there was three different types of portals. And I asked him, I said, well, how do you know these things are there? And he said that he saw some things come out of the portal, didn't mention what it was, but he said he went into one and came out. And I said, what did you see? And all he told me was, you don't want to know. He basically said that it was the same universe, but it was gray and it acted different. It was just different. And that's what clicked when your guest was talking about, the family, or what was that about? The family could see our reality, but they were in, universe, I guess, that's close to ours.
Wow. I wonder what he did see when he was in there. That sounds fascinating, but scary.
Very. Stacy, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. And that's what intrigues me about kind of reading about this, and I'm sure it does you as well, when you go into this with these kind of preconceived notions that some of these stories are just so fantastic. There's no possible way this could exist. But yet we know that there are a lot of things going on around us at all times that we still don't understand. I mean, it's 2015. You know, my next guest, Roy Bainton, has written an entire book on unexplained phenomena. Here we are in 2015. Science and understandings have leapt so much further, and we should have a better grasp on a lot of this strange phenomena that takes place around us. But there seems, as it said in your write-up, a lot of times you think you've got an answer to something, and that just seems to open up 20 more questions.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. It's like a rabbit hole. What you think you've pinned it down, and then it leads to something else. And your caller was talking about Vimanas, and if we believe that other civilizations were around before us, I mean, the ancient Sanskrit texts talk about Vimanas, which were time travel technology where they could move around. And you think, well, how could that be when that was years and years and years before us? But, they were far more advanced than we were. And you've got people like, there's a character called Billy Woodard, and he claimed years ago that he was abducted and taken underground, and there's two different separate races down there. And actually, that's what I really want to look into next, is the kind of underground side of things, you know, because there are so many reports of people being taken underground and what they see, and it's almost like a Hollow Earth type thing. So whether it's alien or whether it's ancient races, you know, but they all seem to know so much more than we do in 2000. Like you said, it's there's a lot more out there, and there's a lot more ancient things out there than we appreciate, I think.
Let's go to west of the Rockies. Karen in Idaho, welcome to Coast to Coast AM. What did you want to talk about?
I want to talk about my alien encounter in the mountains in northern Idaho. I was living in a cabin up in the woods, and one night about 2:30 in the morning, I woke up, and there at the foot of my bed are three aliens, and they came over to my bed. I couldn't move. I could not get up. I tried two or three times to get up. I could move my head, though. And they inserted something into my left ear, and then it was like a hornet buzzing. Very, very annoying, but not painful, but just extremely annoying. And then my vision changes into a kaleidoscope of the colors of green and whites, and it's swirly. I don't know how long all of this lasted, but the buzzing quit right after that started. And then the next morning at 6, about 6 or 6:30, I wake up, and it's like I'm just thrust into my body with a force or something. I can't explain it, but the next day or two, I started bumping into walls. My high blood pressure went just really high. And I'd always had low blood pressure before that. This continued for 8 months. And then I worked at a casino, and I was on my days off. And the first day, I was really, really sick. I was so tired, I could hardly move. The second day, I thought I'd take a shower. I got off out of the shower, was drying off, and I felt something ping above my left ear. So I hurriedly threw on my sweatshirt and my jeans and no shoes. I ran to the neighbor's. By the time I knocked on her door, I was screaming in pain. They rushed me to the hospital in Spokane, Washington. They told my kids I wouldn't make it through the night, and I made it 3 days. I was in a coma 3 days, and then I woke up. But I remember being out of my body several times, talked to my mother, and then I heard a male voice tell me it wasn't my time to die. And I must have woke up about then. The nurse came in, and she said, "Congratulations, you just survived a brain aneurysm."
Wow.
"And the kind you survived, only 1 in 3,000 people make it."
When you were out of your body with that moment, did you witness or see anything alien in nature? I've had some people that have related that to me over the years on our show, Darkness Radio, where they've left their body during medical issues, either traumatic car accidents or whatnot, and sometimes they've witnessed these figures that look very alien in nature while they were out.
No, I didn't ever see. I just saw, like, my mom, and then okay. I just heard things, but I could also... When somebody's in a coma, be careful what you say, because I heard all kinds of things. My little sister came in, and she was crying her eyes out, afraid I'd die. My other sister came in and said, "Oh, my God, I've never seen her without her makeup." And I had aged 10 years, like, overnight.
Wow. Karen, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story. Fascinating.
Yeah, glad you made it.
Definitely.
Dave, what's interesting is that before I did these books, I was writing books on near-death experiences and afterlife communication. And I actually stayed away from the accounts of the bad NDEs. I wanted to stay on the positive ones because they're so lovely and they are so verified information to me that you really do carry on in the souls, not in your body, it's kind of out of your body. But there are accounts of people seeing reptilian-type beings when they have a bad near-death experience. Now, there's very few and far between, thank goodness. But interestingly, also, it's the same kind of experience that people have said when they've taken DMT, which is some kind of, I don't know, I think it's some kind of drug, isn't it?
But right. Well, our brain produces a natural DMT, but yeah, you can take DMT and ayahuasca ceremonies, things like that, kind of do that same thing, opening up that third eye.
Incredibly, when people take that very, very commonly, they have these experiences of really, really frightening reptilian-type creatures. But there are some lovely near-death experiences as well, you know, more of them than bad, so that's good.
Let's try to get one more quick call in. First-time caller line, Roy in Texas. We have just a few minutes. What did you want to talk about?
Hi, Dave and Steph. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I just want to add some food for thought regarding what Steph said about the Colorado Springs family and the husband saying that he felt that it was governmental and not supernatural. Mm-hmm. And to remind you and callers that back in the early 1900s, Nikola Tesla did a lot of experimentation out in the Colorado Springs area regarding his trying to transmit energy and electricity through wirelessly. And then later in the late 1940s, when Nikola Tesla died in New York City, the federal government swooped in and gathered up all of his experiment documentation and held on to it for more than 10 years before even releasing parts of it to his brother in Hungary. So what might the U.S. government have found in that documentation about Nikola Tesla's experimentation in the Colorado Springs area? And since Colorado Springs is right there, amongst all that granite, essentially a huge crystal repository, that could definitely be an area for opening up vortexes, which Steph has mentioned.
Right, and that, I've heard mention of that in other places where they've done atomic testing, wondering in Nevada and places like that, have they perhaps done a ripple effect or damaged, you know, part of our space-time continuum
and yes, sir.
Creating portals? Roy, thank you for calling in and weighing in on that. It's right. Amazing all of the different possibilities and theories. And, you know, again, I'm hoping science continues to keep up so we can start to measure some of these to either put them away once and for all and say, see, there's nothing measurable here. There is no portal. There is no vortex. There's no way to do this. Yet we know that there are locations that are extremely powerful because of the what's underneath them, water rushing, granite, limestone, quartz. And they're able to tell that there's, you know, people that are sensitive can just walk in there and they can pick up on it, and it's because of these certain veins of either crystals and rocks or underground currents that allow them to sense it. So if they can sense it, there should be some kind of mechanical equipment that should be able to do the same thing.
Yeah, certainly. I'm going to be continuing to research.
Please do, and love to have you visit with us again on Coast to Coast. I know you've done quite a bit else in exorcisms, possession, and stories like that. We'd love to talk with you again in the future, all right?
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, and to your listeners, thank you very much.
It's great speaking with you as well. Our guest this evening for the last 2 hours, Steph Young. Something in the Woods is taking people. She also has Predator in the Woods, Terror in the Night, and more. So you can check out her links on Coast to Coast AM and see some of the links to her books and information. We're going to take a break now. And when we return, Roy Bainton will join us and we'll discuss unexplained phenomena. That's next with your host, Dave Schrader, on Coast to Coast AM.